I'm just going to fade that one down. That is Tony Monreal with I Can't Live Without You. Played that loads. I think it was last year, actually. Oh, it could have been the year before. And now I'm joined on the line by an incredibly gifted singer-songwriter. You just heard him there. That's Tony Monreal. He's worked with Gloria Estefan, Celine Dion, Janet Jackson, Whitney Houston, Chaka Khan. There's so many people here. It's unbelievable. He's also a member of Incognito 2. His acclaimed debut album called Keep Pushing was released in 2015, and he did a worldwide tour and played to sold-out audiences, and also duetted with Jules Holland. His new EP, Lockdown Acoustic Sessions, is going to be out in April, and his new track, which I've been playing on the show, is called Escape, and we're absolutely loving it. So hopefully I've not cut him off. He's on the phone. It should be Tony. How are you doing?
I'm still here, Michelle. I'm still here.
Great. See, I always do a big, long introduction. I can't help myself.
No, that's good. I like it. I like the build-up.
Now, when did you first discover your singing voice? Are you from a musical family?
You know what? I've got family members now that do music, nieces and nephews and stuff like that. And even my son does music. But I think when I started, no one was really doing that. I think my parents, when growing up, we had so much culture and music around the house that I was influenced in so many ways. And I think from a young age, my parents saw that I was destined to be within the entertainment industry. As I was into quite a lot of things. But I started off, before I started singing, actually, I started off being a rap artist. And that was really what sparked it off. And then I remember my uncle had a great record collection, and he always every now and again brought some new records over to the house, and I remember hearing Shalimar for the first time. And that was it. I heard your love gets sweeter as the days go by. As soon as I heard that was it. I was like, what is this? I want to hear it. I want to learn. So I must have been about maybe 8 or 9. And that was the moment that I started to really, like, get involved in it. But I didn't actually start singing properly until I was about 18.
And was that voice there? Because your voice is tremendous, and you do these wonderful rundowns with your voice as well. Was that natural? You've never really had to sort of train. It was just there.
No, I didn't really train. But what happened was that, you know, growing up, I grew up, you know, and I went to a Pentecostal church. And, you know, for me, singing gospel music, when I started to sing, that was what really influenced me, was that. And I listened to, you know, bands and groups like the Winans, Commissioned, and so many others. And it was me being part of the choir, which was then learning about tone and the discipline. And then when it came to doing, like, learning about the scales and runs and stuff, that was me literally practicing at home, in my bedroom, and, you know, playing things slowly and slowly breaking it down. But the key for me wasn't that. It was more about the tone, and then everything else kind of naturally fell in place.
Now, you've worked with Incognito, Bluey Incognito, the band. I know they've had lots of band members. They are phenomenal live, and the harmonies and, you know, the lead vocals, because there's quite a few vocalists in it, is incredible. How did you get involved? How did you meet Bluey?
Well, basically in 1999, I believe it was, or 2000, a friend of mine who was in the band at the time called me up and said that they were just about to do an album. And that album was called Life Strange in a Fiction. And they were looking for an extra, you know, vocalist to come in and add towards some of the harmonies and stuff like that. So I was recommended to Bluey, and they contacted me if I was up for doing a session. So I said, yeah, sure, I knew who Incognito was, and it was a great experience for me. Then going into the studio, I started to sing some ideas down, extra harmonies and stuff. And while the recording was going on, Bluey was in the control room. He came out of the room, and he was started shouting, yes, yes, this is the voice I've been looking for. And he was so excited about it, and the session went great. We were there for a few days. But I didn't know that while we were recording, he was in the control room on the phone to his management saying, look, I've just got this guy in to do some work on the record, but I actually want him in the band. We've got to get him in the band. And so that's what was basically going on. So they were just about to embark on to doing a US tour, but they weren't able to get me in because of, you know, visa applications and so forth. So he said that as soon as this is done, I want you in the band. And that's what happened. But that's the connection between me, Incognito, and Sade. While Bluey was then rehearsing for this particular tour, Sade was in the next studio, and she was auditioning for a new singer.
Oh, wow.
to join her band.
Yeah.
They bumped into each other and they explained that what they were doing and that, and so they said she'd been there for a couple of weeks looking for a singer. Bluey then said, can I have a look at your list of singers? He looked through this extensive list and said, look, I'm going to tell you this. I don't really want to give you this guy's name, but I feel like I'm compelled to. Guy that I want for my band, I can't get him at the moment for visa reasons and stuff like that, but this is the guy that you need to call.
Mm.
And so, cutting a long story short, he gave Sade my number.
Wow.
And the next day, Sade called me, and from there, the rest is history.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Good old Bluey. Good old Bluey, if he's listening out there. With your songwriting, how do you put songs together? Do you actually write lyrics? Do you get do you play a little bit of guitar? How does it work, or is it different every time a song comes to you?
Basically, with me, it really usually it starts with a melody. Mm. As a singer, I'm always like driven by a melody, and then afterwards, I spend time with where I'm going with it, and I might even park it and put it on the shelf for a little while, and then it'll come back to me, and it's really then what do I want to say? What does the melody feel to me? So, for instance, you just played "I Can't Live Without You."
Yes,
I did that with a good friend of mine, Simon Gray, and we did that demo about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I've got a vault of melodies and songs where we've just done little demos with a backing track. And it just, when I was releasing the last album, Best Is Yet To Come, I was in Germany, we were writing on some stuff, and I thought, that's it, that song. Mm. And so then that's where it came in, I Can't Live Without You. And then the lyrical form of it, it started to come to play. So sometimes I just completely write lyrics and then I put the melody around it. But most cases it would be me starting with a melody.
Now, as you know, we're in lockdown. It's a year today, in fact. And
yeah, I know.
It's been a really bad time for the industry as a whole, for anybody in the creative industries and gigging and touring. How have you found it?
It has been difficult, but at the same time, I'm a person that I can't sit there and start, you know, watching time go by. I need to be active. So I've been very busy. Obviously, in that particular time when it happened, it was a time to be creative. And it was a different way of being creative, because now everything was under, you know, lockdown, so we couldn't go to the studio and do stuff. So I decided to do this EP.
Yeah.
And it wasn't originally starting at that. It just started as me just coming up with a song during lockdown. And then I thought, look, let me just start making some material. So I recorded everything remotely with my team. And it was a great exercise. But at the same time, I thought, well, you know, we're still being creative, and we're going to do this unplugged, let's say, kind of acoustic EP during lockdown. And so that's how the lockdown acoustic sessions came about. And it was a great time. I mean, to be honest with you, we were very fortunate to still get some international gigs.
Yeah.
So I was still able to do some shows. And then, you know, obviously when those respective countries had their lockdown, that's when we were back here and doing it. But, you know, we've just counted every day as a blessing, still being able to listen to music and still being able to be creative, in the hope that, you know, once the green light goes ahead, then we can socialise again, that we can get back to what we'd love doing. And so far right now, I've got some dates that are lined up. So hopefully when we get the green light, we'll be back doing what we love to do.
So the EP is going to be out in April, and it's called Lockdown Acoustic Sessions. Who's joined you on the EP?
So basically on the EP, it's, you know, predominantly myself, and then it's because it's acoustic, what I've done is I've got my two guitarists, a guy called Mauro and a guy called Luca Ferrone. And then I've also got my main band members on certain tracks. So Julian Crampton on the bass, Emiliano Parry on keys, Christian Mendoza on guitar. And then I've got Alessio Barelli playing acoustic cajon and shaker. So there's that. And then I've got, on this new single that I've done, which will be coming out at the end next week, which will be Someday We'll All Be Free.
Mm-hmm.
That's done with the string quartet. So it's that time I've basically done this EP, and it's a 6-song EP, and all recorded during lockdown, and it's just something to just keep the momentum going and hopefully inspire some people at the same time.
Now, Escape is just such a lovely track. I love it. It's brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
And I've been playing it, you know, I love your voice anyway, as you know.
Thank you.
And it's straight in there with positivity straight away. It's like, good morning, you got that hook, good morning. Tell us about the song and about the video as well, because there's a video with the song.
Yeah, well, the song came about because that was the first song that, you know, I spoke to my guitarist and I said, look, I want to, we're in this lockdown, let's do something. And he was just about to fly back to Italy, so we did it all remotely. And you know, he sent me some ideas down, and that was the one that I picked out first of all. Like, look, we've got to make some changes on this, but I really feel there's something with this. And because it was lockdown, and it was actually in the height of lockdown, I thought there was so much, you know, negative stuff going on TV and in the news and the papers. I wanted to do something that was different. So if we're going to release this, it needs to be from a positive outlook. And so that's kind of how it started. And the video came about by me visualizing, and I always visualize when I'm writing songs, I've always visualized the imagery of a video.
Mm.
So the idea was it was starting off at lockdown, and it would, you know, be me getting on with the day. But then obviously seeing that visually that we're all coming together, recording remotely, and putting it together of just finding that place of escape and escape the madness that we're in at the moment. Just find a place that we can find as our peaceful place.
Yeah.
And that be the destination. So, and because it was a global thing that everybody was experiencing, it was a great way to be able to connect, and also a song that everyone would be able to understand because we've all gone through it in some way or form.
Yeah.
And it was just talking to my daughter. She was mentioning to me about, you know, I was talking about doing something, and I always spoke about this with my team about doing something with fans for a video.
Mm.
And my daughter was the one that dropped the seed and said, "Hey, why don't you do this video with fans?"
Yeah,
and that was it. That was really the kind of like the light bulb moment. And then, you know, my team just reached out to the fans. I did a little video to the fans. We got so many videos and people participating. So we used what we were able to use.
Yeah.
And then we implemented that and put that within the video. So it felt like it was a joint thing, which was great. I really, really enjoyed making that.
Yeah, it's great the way that people can connect now with their fans as well. Years ago, it had been more of arm's length, but obviously social media has opened it up so people can get in contact, drop people a message. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's been fantastic to talk to you. I know you've done so much stuff, Tony, and you know, I know you supported Earth, Wind and Fire, and you know, duetted with Jules Holland. Out of all those people, before we play your song Escape, who's been the most, the one that you've kind of got a little bit shell-shocked of working with? Which one was your hero?
It's really difficult to say. And the reason I say that is because every time I get asked this question, I'm always remembering other things that I've done.
Mm.
And I've never really, I think one of the things what's helped me is because I've never been so shell-shocked. I've always treated the artists the way that I want to be treated. And I can tell you now, all of these artists, that's all they ever want. They just want to be seen as normal.
Yeah.
And it's their gift of what they've done. So I wasn't really like in that frame of mind. My thing was the beauty of the music and appreciating the what I was doing and what we were doing together. So there were poignant moments of working with, you know, when I first met Gloria Estefan, that was a great moment. But then also working with Sade.
Yeah.
I never expected to work with someone like that. And also her music is so iconic. She's so iconic. And she's literally she's in her own lane.
Mm.
There's not really many artists that I can say that about, that they're in their own lane with their own style, and they're just, every time they do something, it's magical. So as much as I'm part of her outfit, for me it's always going to be Sade.
Yeah,
because I've learned so much from her as an artist and what she does and how she is. She's involved in every aspect of it, not just making the music and recording and production. She's also involved in the touring, the lighting, the production, the whole show. She's involved in the whole thing.
Mm.
So for me, she's the complete artist to me.
Yeah.
And she's still vulnerable, she's still shy, she's still, you know, has moments of doubt, and that's what I love, and I think that's the greatness of who she is. And so, yeah, when I'm asked this question, I always come back to her.
Wonderful. And you're a great artist as well. I love your stuff, as you know. I think your management probably think I'm quite crazy the way I keep going on, but there we go. But I love your voice. I've listened to you for years, Tony, so it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you. And we're going to finish with your track. This is called Escape, and it's going to be coming off of the EP, which will be out in April, which is the Lockdown Acoustic Sessions. Great to talk to you. Have a great day. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michelle.
Cheers. Bye-bye. So bye.